Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 89, and the initial wave of free agency has hit, Dave, and now kind of we get the lull here, and we'll see, I'm sure, on a daily basis around the league, guys signing, guys taking visits, people kind of looking for bargains now, guys looking for the right fit. But here we are, and we can kind of have the initial evaluation of every team and kind of step back and look at everything. And now that we'll get ready for the pro days, the rest of the pro days, the visits to teams for the guys getting ready for the draft, and obviously about 6 weeks away from the draft. So plenty to get to here, and we'll start off with what the Steelers have done, which obviously a lot of fans are disappointed, because when you look across the AFC and look at the reigning champs who have been incredibly active, the Steelers have been relatively quiet.
Yeah, a lot of fans certainly aren't liking that. I think they let themselves kind of get caught up early on with those reports that the Steelers might be interested in Dre Kirkpatrick or Logan Ryan and, you know, some of those bigger name cornerbacks that were hitting free agency. But, you know, I understand them maybe having interest in those guys, possibly. I mean, at least that's how the reports go. But at any given time, did you find yourself thinking that the Steelers were going to actually sign one of the bigger name free agent cornerbacks this year? I mean, yeah, we talked about leading up to free agency that if there was any one position that the Steelers might address in free agency, it would probably be cornerback. But that doesn't mean that they were going to throw gobs of money at the position and, you know, call $10 million a season what you will, but that's right on up there with the money that Cameron Hayward makes a season. And he is currently the highest paid, you know, player on the defensive side of football for the Steelers. So should we be surprised that the Steelers have zero free agent signings on the board as we sit here heading in to really the first full week of free agency? Absolutely not. I think Kevin Colbert set this thing. People just refuse to listen to some of the things that Art Rooney II and Kevin Colbert say on a yearly basis. And Kevin Colbert, as you know, pretty much said during the combine that we're not going to get into chasing overpriced free agents, you know. So it's not a surprise that the Steelers have zero on the board, I don't think, here as we go into this Monday.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it's a surprise. And obviously, you don't ever see the signings coming. I mean, I don't think anybody called the Mike Mitchell signing. With Heath Miller gone, I think there was a thought maybe that they would look for a tight end. So it wasn't completely out of the blue, the Ladarius Green signing last year, but the Steelers weren't quite in the same position this year. Now, I think there are a bunch of things going on here. So let's just talk about where the market is. One is Stephon Gilmore got a huge contract. I mean, $40 million guaranteed, basically $16 million a year. He and Bouye set the market for the two corners. They were clearly the two outstanding corners, the top-ranked corners available in free agency. Bouye obviously goes to Jacksonville, and Stephon Gilmore goes to New England. Could the Steelers have afforded Stephon Gilmore? Yes, they could have structured something where they could have paid Stephon Gilmore that contract. But I think Dave's point here is very well taken, and he didn't carry it all the way through. But I think it was understood. Dale Lawley wrote about it as well over the weekend, is the Steelers have a pay structure where it has not been their style at any point in time to disrupt the apple cart in terms of veteran leadership and pay in terms of how guys get paid. They've never brought anybody in at any kind of huge number to be a highest paid guy on the team. And it's just the way it is. So what Dave was implying there is they're not going to bring in necessarily a guy to be a higher paid guy than Cam Hayward, or a higher paid guy than Stephon Tuitt, who's going to get paid sometime before the season start, or Ryan Shazier, who's going to get paid next year after they pick up his option. This is the way they operate. I realize that for some people that's incredibly frustrating, but at the same time, it's obviously over the long haul been an incredibly successful formula in terms of how to participate. And it's not always, keeping up with the Joneses. And I realize, look, we'll get into more of this after we kind of go through what the Steelers have done. But the situation with New England, I certainly understand the frustration. And I don't necessarily know that anybody saw this happening with New England, because this is a bit of a change of philosophy for the Patriots. They have let guys go, like the Steelers have, like the Ravens have in the past, in order to collect compensatory picks. And that's been a successful way for teams to go, but we have never seen anybody that I recall, Dave, be as active in the trade market, giving up draft picks the way the Patriots have. Obviously, they gave up their first. They gave up a second for Coney Ealy. They gave up a fourth for Dwayne Allen. There were some other, draft picks involved in all and a couple of those deals. But the gist of it is they gave up a lot of their draft this year to get quality players who were either underperforming or just they're under control for a couple of years, less than any draft pick would be. So they went with a different philosophy. We'll see how it works out. But they also went out and paid the highest contract on the market for Stephon Gilmore. So, yeah, I get Steeler fans' frustration when they see that. It's just not how the Steelers have operated.
Boy, two different mindsets in the organization, right? If you're a fan of the Patriots outside of owning a Tom Brady jersey, do you buy any other jersey?
That's a great point. That is a great point. Nobody's safe.
Because nobody's safe, right? I mean, it's Tom Brady and that's it. Everybody else, I mean, Bill Belichick will turn over that roster in a heartbeat. I mean, he has guys that he thinks can fit what he does. And let's face it, we would have to go over this pick by pick, but the Patriots don't really draft overly well. Probably compared to other teams. Now, they obviously hit on players. I'm not trying to say that they don't. But and also when it comes to wide receivers, Belichick had there's a quote floating around recently about wide receivers and why Belichick likes to go the free agent route with wide receivers, that have some experience to them because they already see what they can do. It's easier to scout those guys, obviously, once they have a year or two at the NFL level. And, Brandon Cooks is – I like Brandon Cooks. I don't know how you feel about him. I think he is a great up-and-coming player, and it's just – it's amazing to see him get out of New Orleans so soon. And he really should do well in New England. And a guy like, Dwayne Allen in Indianapolis, I've always like that guy, and I just don't think that he was used properly in that passing game there in Indianapolis as well. So look, I understand the frustration, but it's two different mindsets right now, and it's hard to argue with the Patriots mindset. But on the flip side, this is a Steelers team that made it to the AFC Championship game last year. This is a Steelers team that, regardless of what does or doesn't happen between now, during free agency, is going to be one of the favorites to compete for the AFC crown once again. So it doesn't mean that either way can't work.
Right, right. And the keeping up with the Joneses thing, I know a lot of people have tweeted me, and I'm sure have tweeted you, Dave, say, it doesn't matter. Look, they're not keeping up with the Patriots. Well, the first goal for every team is to win your division and stay ahead of the three teams that you got to compete with in their division. So I can say with 100% certainty, without having it confirmed from the UPMC Rooney Southside facility, that the Steelers are looking and seeing what the Patriots are doing, but they are not making any decisions based on what the Patriots or any other of the 30 other teams are doing. So it's just the way they're going to operate. So So, Dave, you know, I will give myself the complimentary pat on the back for being pretty much right on for, you know, 6 months about how the Landry Jones and Lawrence Timmons things would play out. The Jones contract, right, almost exactly what we talked about, 2 years, $5 million, actually a touch less than that. And Timmons gets what we've talked about, you know, $5, $6 million a year to go to Miami for 2 years. So for me, no surprises in what the Steelers have done in free agency so far.
Yeah, I thought, Dan, you know, depending on whether or not you want to believe the report by Didi Kinkobwala, it looks like the Steelers might have been close average yearly value-wise, but obviously, and no one would have expected them to offer $11 million guaranteed, which is reported. I mean, let's face it, $11 million of the $12 million that Timmons got from the Dolphins is reportedly guaranteed. Now, obviously, I haven't seen the fine print of that, you know, how much of that's injury guaranteed or is it fully guaranteed, you know, that kind of thing. But not a surprise that you're going to take the $11 million guaranteed, probably over whatever the signing bonus Timmons may or may not have received from the Steelers, because normally when you're talking about older free agents with the Steelers, that's the only part of the contract that the Steelers won't normally guarantee is just the signing bonus there. So,
basically, the Dolphins guaranteed both years, and the Steelers would have guaranteed 1 year. Basically, right? I mean, how you look at it?
Yeah, and. You know, who knows what the signing bonus would have been with the Steelers? I mean, and how long, you know, the Steelers probably wanted to try to lock him up for three so they could stretch whatever signing bonus out over 3 years for salary cap purposes. And then, of course, you know, help with his first year cap hit as well, too. So, I'm sad. Look, I there's no denying that the writing on the wall with Timmons goes all the way back to the moment that they signed Vince Williams to the contract.
That they
signed him to. Now, did I still think that there was a chance? Absolutely. I thought there was still a chance. I believed Kevin Colbert when he said that they wanted Timmons back, but it had to be, you know, right price, right fit, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it goes without saying too, it only takes one team, right? And it looks like the Dolphins were that team. There was a report by Omar Kelly just you know, several hours before Timmons signed with the Dolphins, saying that they didn't want him to get out of town the way Ryan Clark did many moons ago. People forgot Ryan Clark made a free agent visit to Miami, only to come back running to the table to sign a contract with the Steelers. Boy, it's sad to see him go. You want to talk about one of my all-time favorite kind of current players, David? I don't remember anything ever being written bad about Lawrence Timmons. Do you?
No. You know, not a vocal guy, but a guy who was a quiet leader, a guy who showed up for work every day, did his job. You know, everybody knows he's Mike Tomlin's first draft pick. Look, I'm sure it was tough on Mike Tomlin, but you're right. This is why I assumed that this would play out this way. Is the minute they signed Vince Williams last year to the deal in August and not Lawrence Timmons, well, you know, you look and say, okay, Vince Williams can be a useful special teams player, but this looks like, you know, they're thinking he's going to be the guy. They signed him to a below market deal. You want to talk about saving money in terms of your rotation? And think about it. When we've seen Vince Williams on the field, whether it was for Ryan Shazier over the course of the past 3 years or Lawrence Timmons, he's played good football. I mean, the guy can attack the line of scrimmage. The Steelers, oddly, a couple years ago, kind of used Sean Spence and Vince Williams in the opposite roles that you would expect, with Spence being the early down linebacker and Timmons being the guy who would be in there in passing situations, which still kind of confuses me as to why, you know, that was the approach. But certainly Vince Williams can be a two-down linebacker, and I think we'll see this season, I think we'll see a lot more dime defenses from the Steelers, depending on how the draft picks go, depending on whether Cenquez Golson is healthy. I just think you'll see situations where the Steelers are playing with, you know, with a different schematic than they've used historically, which has primarily been nickel with, you know, with Lawrence Timmons was on the field most plays last year, although that wasn't the case at the end of 2015.
Let me ask you this. First of all, with Williams, I wouldn't so much call it a below market deal as I would call it a backup deal and a deal that you give to a solid special teams player.
My only expectation was he was going to be the starter. So if that's the case, then it's going to look below mark.
Right, and plus, too, I mean, it's hell of an insurance. It's a hell of a cheap insurance policy. On top of it. So with that said, look, I love Vince Williams. He plays downhill very well. He can, much like Timmons, he can move point A to point B. Downhill quickly. People are trying to say that this is an upgrade over Timmons. This isn't. This is not an upgrade, and it'd be foolish to call it an upgrade over Timmons at this point. What it is, it's a cheaper, younger 2016 version of Timmons, if you ask me. If you try to do the same things that you did with Lawrence Timmons with Vince Williams, you're going to get probably the same results that everybody's been bitching about for the last, 2 years, okay? Now, as you kind of indicated, you expect the Steelers to probably run more dime or at least some sort of package that doesn't, you know, that includes a more mobile player playing alongside Ryan Shazier. I agree, and I think we're headed that way. Now, the question becomes, going into the draft, David, and not knowing, I mean, look, you can try to predict these drafts and mock them, whether you're the guy that's first year watching football or a guy in, you know, making decisions inside of a team's war room. You can mock this thing all you want to death and predict who's going to be, you know, fall to you where. It doesn't always happen and go as planned. So with that said, are you considering, when you look at now that Timmons is gone, you look at who's under contract with the Steelers, and let's face it, when you look at linebacker, really you can only name off three names, okay? You have to name off Shazier because he's obviously your starter. You have to name off Vince Williams because he's obviously the next man up. And then after that, you obviously name off Tyler Matakevich, who is more of a Vince Williams player, most obviously, than he is a Ryan Shazier. If you want to throw Steven Johnson's name in that, have at it. But God bless you, he's a special teams player, and that's pretty much where it stops. So I guess what I'm asking you is, before you get into the draft, are you signing another more athletic free agent inside linebacker, you know, if you can?
Well, I think your article on the site was right on point with the two guys you mentioned, and Zach Brown and Gerald Hodges. I mentioned them on Sports Showdown last night. For those who don't know, Zach Brown was a guy, originally a second-round pick out of North Carolina, drafted by Tennessee, played last year in Buffalo for a year at just over $1 million. Turned out to have, you know, a bit of a breakout season for him. Gerald Hodges, many people might remember, is a Penn State guy. You think of back in the days when he played next to, and I'm drawing a blank, Dave, the kid who also went to Minnesota, who's in Miami from Penn State.
Michael Mowdy.
Yeah, Michael Mowdy. So those guys, Hodges was the more acclaimed pro prospect. He ends up in San Francisco the past 2 years when he got traded from the Vikings. He had a bit of a breakout season. If you can get Zach Brown on Arthur Moat's money, Dave, you know, whether you want to talk about $2 million a year or something around those numbers, I think you have to do it. And I'm sure it wouldn't make Vince Williams happy. Zach Brown. You know, I think he would be a guy that you would fit in there. Now, I don't know in terms of the depth of the outside inside linebacker position in the league, who the guys are, who you can find, who are Arthur Moats-esque, meaning younger than Stevie Johnson, more accomplished than Tyler Matakevich, who are available. I haven't looked at the rest of the guys close enough. But if you went and signed a Gerald Hodges or a Zach Brown, I would think you sign them you know, potentially to be the starter. That's why they signed the deals next to Ryan Shazier. So I would look at those guys. I certainly wouldn't expect them to, the Steelers, that meaning them, to pay them $4 or $5 million a year. But if we're talking, if you can get those guys at $3 million a year less, you have to kick the tires and take a look.
And I think $3 million is exactly where you draw the line at. With these guys. Now the Steelers will have those minimum veteran benefit contracts laid out there 1 year, but you're not going to get those guys for that. In fact, I would suspect, and I think Hodges has already paid a visit or was supposed to visit the Chiefs. This is the week, I think, when you're into these second tier kind of guys and guys like Hodges and guys like Brown, this is a week that they should get attention. But you know, they're the inside linebacker free agent market just isn't a sweet spot one, right? I mean, it's just not one that you think of money kind of being thrown around at. And look, you go back to a guy like Brown, did he stumble kind of down the stretch last year with the Bills? Yes, he did. However, comma, he finished second in the league in total tackles behind the kid up there in Seattle.
Bobby Wagner.
And he even had more than Timmons had in Pittsburgh. And let's face it, Timmons had a nice year as far as chasing that football down. Timmons had a nice year, I thought, down the middle of the seam. I dare anybody to go back and tell me how many times he was beat down the middle of the seam dropping. Now, could he have been beat a few times? Sure, but he wasn't. But with that said, I mean, it's no sense even talking about him anymore because he's gone. But if you can get a guy like Hodges or Brown for $3 million or less, I think you absolutely have to do that. And especially if I think Hodges plays on special teams, and I think obviously Brown did early on in his career as well too. So that's not a foreign concept to those guys. It sets you up for a position that you can go into the draft and look, if a guy like, God bless him, if he falls to you, a guy like Hassan Reddick falls to you, you pull the trigger on him. If the kid, Obi out of Connecticut, you know, that kind of hybrid safety box player falls to you, you draft him, you know. But you don't have to go in. And we've seen Kevin Colbert do this over the years. You don't want to go into the draft with any huge holes where you have to go, we have to go get that player right there at that position right now. Now, are they going to be able to avoid the edge rusher situation?
No, right.
Probably not. But
that's their hole, because you can't. I mean, as good as James Harrison was last year, obviously you just relying on a 39, 40 year old guy without having the answer otherwise. I mean, you know, Moats is a guy. We've talked about Chickle as a guy, but you gotta be planning for success. You gotta use a high pick, whether it's the first round or the second round, whatever. But again, that you have to go there.
But pretty much if you went and got a guy, and look, it might be a little bit lower guy than Hodges or Brown. Those are just two of the names that really, really stuck out to me that when, you know, I kind of researched them and went back over their tape, I went, man, these guys would be great, you know, great replacements. Not long term by any. I mean, because let's face it, if you sign either one of those two guys, David, you're still thinking you got to get somebody else. Next to Shazier within the next couple of years, regardless. And in fact, you're probably still going to draft that position at some point this year, even if you did sign those two guys. But that's what I would be thinking. And somebody asked me last night or yesterday on Twitter, what's my plans for the Steelers for the rest of free agency now that we know what we know? And I'd say sign a cheap cornerback and sign a cheap inside linebacker. And then extend the contracts of Tuitt, Le'Veon Bell, and Alejandro Villanueva, and call it a day. And you know, and I think you're done. And it would not surprise me if that's the way it turned out.
I think you're spot on. The only thing I would put in there is it wouldn't shock me if they brought a veteran running back or another running back to camp. It's not going to be Jamaal Charles or Adrian Peterson, obviously, but their name's out there. And just as we're talking here, just a couple notes on free agency guys taking visits. It looks like maybe the Ravens are in the lead for Mo Claiborne, who's the cornerback, who would be maybe the highest rated guy left on the board. And apparently the Ravens are talking to Ladarius Webb to bring him back. So those would be big additions to their secondary, which with the kid from Arizona that they've added to play next to Eric Weddle is a is a big deal. Dave, help me with his name. I'm drawing a blank.
Tony Jefferson. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing that that just flashed across is Rex Burkhead, who I mentioned on the podcast last Monday, running back from Cincinnati. Look, he's kind of a Swiss Army knife, jack of all trades guy. We saw Danny Woodhead go to the Ravens. He's not exactly the same type of player as Danny Woodhead, but he's visiting the Patriots as well. And you would think with James White, with some of the other moves the Patriots have made, if they were to sign Rex Burkhead, maybe that signals the end of LeGarrette Blount in New England. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But that, the only addition to the things you would say, that, Dave, is that I wouldn't surprise me if, you know, they signed a running back on the cheap veteran minimum type deal, $1 million type deal, which obviously, you know, none of which would be guaranteed to compete with Fitz Toussaint because, you know, Carlos Williams obviously isn't going to be there. There's not a lot of depth at the running back position. You might look to bring a guy in.
Before you get to our buddy Craig Oxane, would you, if D'Angelo Williams was willing to play for a 1 year minimum salary benefit contract, would you re-sign him?
Yeah, I've said all along no. At a 1 year deal like that, if he just said, look, I want to stay in the league and I want to could try again to win a championship. I mean, that would be hard to say no to because that's just – it's so cheap at that type of situation. That, you know, that would be the one that would give me pause. So I guess I would consider that, yes.
And what's his market going to be right now? It's not much. I mean,
the veteran minimum 1 year. I think you're on it.
And what's his best chance to win a Super Bowl with the teams willing to probably pay him that? You know, maybe the Falcons. Depending on what happens, you know, with their backfield there. I mean, there was a report that Freeman's not happy with his contract over there. I don't think they change anything over there regardless. But, I mean, there's very few teams that you can circle right now and say, as it is every year, and say that this team has a great chance to win. To win a championship, that would be willing to bring in a guy, a veteran such as D'Angelo Williams, for the minimum. So
yeah, we have Green Bay's the only other team that jumps to mind. Maybe Green Bay or Minnesota. I mean, we could go through the list, but yes, I think that's a fair statement. Hey, Steelers fans, mortgage rates are currently at or near all-time lows. And if you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or just refinance, call our buddy Craig Oxane of First Advantage Mortgage, a lifelong Steelers fan and Pittsburgh native. Craig's a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out terrible podcast listeners. Call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. All right, Dave. So, again, kind of this Landry Jones thing played out as I hoped and as I wanted, as I predicted, and I'm sure disappointed many Steeler fans. I'll just say for the 1,000th time, and I'll drop it at this, the reason I wanted Landry Jones back is not because I think Landry Jones is Ben Roethlisberger's heir apparent. It's not because I think Landry Jones is this or that, or all of a sudden he's going to be, morph into Aaron Rodgers. It's because if the Steelers have Landry Jones, they are relatively set at the quarterback position in terms of backing up Ben. He knows the system. He's shown to be competent enough. He played okay in that Patriots game. And the point is they don't have to use the draft pick. That is the key point for me, is they don't have to draft a quarterback here in the third, fourth, fifth round this year looking toward the future. It doesn't mean they won't. But it means they don't have to because they have two veteran guys backing up Ben. So The signing was cheap, even in today's market for backup quarterbacks, maybe even a little bit less, obviously a little less than the $5 million I predicted. But to me, you know, I know a lot of people don't like the signing because I think they're thinking about it differently than I'm thinking about it. That's how I'm thinking about it, so I love the signing. What are your thoughts?
Oh, look, I mean, ultra cheap, right? I mean, ultra cheap. I mean, that's you see what guys like Foles and some of these guys are starting to sign for now? I mean,
I didn't see Foles sign. What did he sign for?
What is it? Hold on a minute. I'll pull it up for you here in a minute here. It's like the Steelers had a coupon for Covert had a coupon for
the devil, you know, right?
for Landry Jones. 2 years, $11 million for Foles with $7 million guaranteed.
Where'd he go?
Back to Philly.
Okay, so right, I did just see that. It didn't register. Obviously, you know, they've got Carson Wentz, they've got Chase Daniel. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me.
What is Chase a free agent?
I thought he signed that deal, 3 year, $21 million deal.
They're saying Chase Daniel will now be released.
He's going to be released. Okay. Right, well, right. First year of that deal.
Is that a guy? I mean, well, Chase Daniel's going to get enough. You would think still Chase Daniel has enough value that if released, another team will add him.
How about that? How about Chase Daniel signing a 3 year, $21 million, which he was getting $7 million a year. So I imagine he got $7 million. That's a pretty good job to just go. You just went to Philadelphia, you got paid $7 million. You didn't play it down, I don't think. And, now you're going to get something, but that's odd to me because that's not a change in management. So the current management group signed him to that deal thinking that he might be the starter last year. And then they have the whole, you know, they're able to move Bradford. They draft Wentz and he might start initially, but they don't, they go right with Wentz and then they decide to release him. It's just that's odd to me. That is an odd decision to think that Foles from Daniels is an upgrade. I guess he's a little cheaper.
Does Chase Daniel now go back to Kansas City to back up Alex Smith?
That's a good question. Is he the best quarterback on the market right now? I mean, depending on what you think of Cutler and where Romo is, obviously they're in that conversation. But Kaepernick, you know, you look at the other guys on the market. Is it now Chase Daniels? Who knows what Chase Daniel is? I don't. That's one guy I don't have much of an opinion on.
Well, we haven't seen him play. I mean, heck, he has 3 passing attempts in the last 2 years. That's very Bruce Gronkowski-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, and before that, what, in 2014, I think he had 28 pass attempts. In 2013, 38 pass attempts. So unless you have some practice film on this guy, that's probably why it probably makes the best sense for him to go back to Kansas City now. Now that Foles is gone, the other maybe those two guys can just trade each other's jerseys off as they go through
as they see each other in the airport,
right? In the airport, trading places and whatnot. But
so your take on Landry, you're fine with it, I assume.
Oh yeah, I mean, look, you know, did I like Landry when he was drafted many moons ago? Absolutely not. I hated the pick. Did I like Landry 2 years after Landry was drafted? No, I was hoping he'd get cut. Landry has improved the last couple seasons. He knows your offense. I mean, let's face it. Who were you going to get anyway that would have been fairly inexpensive that could win you a few games should Ben Roethlisberger go down? You know, I mean, the Steelers just don't like to spend money on backup quarterbacks. I mean, they go all the way back. You know, Charlie Batch, those contracts that he signed, a lot of them were minimum. Byron Leftwich, who else? Bruce Gronkowski. They just don't like spending money on backup quarterbacks. And even though Landry Jones wasn't the minimum, it damn sure, you might as well go ahead and say it was, because, I mean, it's a dirt cheap deal for him.
You're not going to get a guy with Landry Jones' experience at that. Look, for the people who hate Landry Jones, it's not a conversation, right? So you hate Landry Jones, so nothing's going to pacify the fact that they re-signed him. But you know, less than $2.5 million a year, or less than $2.5 million a year for a guy who's played, you know, 6 or 7 NFL games. He started a couple games. He's won a couple games. What we've seen the past couple of years, he's not gone out and absolutely. I mean, Mike Vick was a way worse quarterback in his playing time with the Steelers 2 years ago than Landry Jones has been over the past 2 years. I mean, not close. Landry Jones is willing to throw the ball down the field. He knows the offense. It's just the Steelers are screwed, like virtually every team is, if they lose Ben for an extended period of time. Landry can win you a game or two. He can do it. And I realize the Cleveland game at the end of the season means nothing to anybody. It was a meaningless game. But he went out and he performed okay. Not every pass was great. He threw a terrible interception into a couple Cleveland defenders. He threw a bad interception in the New England game on that opening drive where he underthrew, you know, whoever it was on the outside there that, you know, he had him for a touchdown, and maybe that game goes differently. But in those games, he made plays. He, you know, won the Cleveland game at the end of the game with an impressive drive. I mean, I think they converted a fourth down in that drive. He made some good throws. He is a satisfactory backup NFL quarterback. So it now, again, we're going to have this conversation come April 28th, 29th, 30th. If the Steelers, with their third round supplemental pick or with their fourth round pick, if they go quarterback in a draft it's not as bad as people are making it out to be. There is some depth in this drafted quarterback. There's just not the clear first round top of the draft guy. But that's going to disappoint me, and I'm sure it'll disappoint a lot of other people as well.
No, well, here's my hope now, and you can't rule them out not drafting a quarterback, but man, just don't use any of those first four picks, which all come in the first three rounds. I just hope to God they don't do it there.
Right.
Can I see them doing it in the fourth or the fifth or later? Yeah, and I guess technically I probably wouldn't be overly surprised if they did spend that compensatory pick on a quarterback. I hope they don't, but I mean, on the flip side, they're not just going to pick a guy just to pick a guy. If the guy, they're going to probably go into this draft with, you know, maybe one or two guys that they think, okay, these are maybe the guys that kind of fit what we can do and we like them. If they can get either one of those two guys in the round that they deem those guys being fit, well, that's probably what's going to happen. If either of those two guys are off the board, well, then, you know, after the draft, we could be talking about Zach Mettenberger probably being a little bit more secure as a number three guy. So, you know, I don't think it solved anything completely as far as whether or not the Steelers are going to take a quarterback, but what it did do is it lessens the need for it to happen.
Absolutely. And look, to me, they just kicked the can down the road for a year because I think if we were all betting guys, you know, looking a year ahead, nobody expects that Zach Mettenberger to be under contract with the Steelers a year from today. We'll be in the new calendar year and Zach Mettenberger will be a free agent. If the Steelers draft a quarterback, Zach Mettenberger won't be the third string quarterback this year. I would pretty comfortably say if the Steelers take a quarterback before the seventh round, I would say the odds are that they'll beat out Zach Mettenberger. So, you know, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Doesn't mean, as you say, Dave, the right way. I just think we've been, you know, from the day this conversation started, you were hoping they wouldn't do it in the first three rounds. And that's now an extra pick even because none of us saw this compensatory pick being a third round pick.
All right. There is some hope, Steeler fans, because I'm talking about free agents. Devon House, former draft pick of the Green Bay Packers, most recently played for the Jacksonville Jaguars over the course of the last 2 years. He is reportedly visiting Pittsburgh today. So everybody can rejoice, get your ticker tape paper out, and get ready to throw it out the window as he arrives from the airport headed to the south side today. He is long. This is a guy that has had some success in the past, most notably a couple years ago with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and of course during his time with the Green Bay Packers had some flashes. He's long and he can play outside, and he ought to be fairly cheap right now. And here's another positive, David. He is a street free agent. And you know what that means, right?
That means no compensatory cost to signing him.
Absolutely. You are correct, sir. What do you think about some of these prices? We live in a world, Dave, where Prince Amukamara can get $7 million.
Well, you know, Dave, this is – I hate to draw a massive, maybe inappropriate comparison to the American economy, but we're seeing this in the NBA. We're seeing it in Major League Baseball, and now we're starting to see it in the NFL. We are seeing the stratification of guys who are perceived to be stars or real impact players getting big money, big guaranteed money, Stephon Gilmore, A.J. Bouye, and then we are seeing virtually – everybody else fall into this next category. So the answer is, if you didn't get paid by yesterday, your numbers, I'll let's make a bet, Dave, I'll just throw it out to our listeners. I'll bet there are, probably not more than 5 or 7 guys the rest of the way here who have contracts where the average annual value is greater than $5 million. I mean, Dont'a Hightower is obviously going to get more than that. But you look at these guys now, and the market, the Stephon Gilmore's and A.J. Bouye's at $15, $16 million. You had the other, 3 or 4 guys get to $10 million. You're not going to see these guys, the rest of this crew, come in here at $7 or $8 million. You're going to see them come in under $5 million, and you're going to see a lot of guys when we get 2 weeks from now signing vet minimum deals or 1 to 2 AJ Landry Jones type deals, 2 years, $4.5-5 million type deals. So, if you didn't get a deal done by Sunday and you're not Dont'a Hightower, you should start being a little bit worried about, how much money you're going to make.
Yeah, and if you get anything over a couple of years with a signing, with a reasonable signing bonus right now, you might not get an average yearly value of $5 million, but if you can put a total of $6 million or even $5 million in your pocket as a result of first-year salary and signing bonus combined, right now is the time where you're looking hard at some of those contracts there. So I still think, and I will still be surprised. Look, when you go down, I don't know if you saw the update I posted on Twitter the other day of the remaining free agent cornerbacks, according to Pro Football Focus, that have any value to them. I think I was 5th on the list. I mean, we've reached that stage. You have the all-turn Verner still out there. You have the Brandon Flowers out
and,
there.
And you and I both kind of have been slightly partial toward all-turn Verner, right? All-turn Verner. He's not big, so that's the negative for the Steelers here. But I've liked him as a football player. I got to say, I didn't see a ton of him this year, but in the past, I have liked him as a football player.
Yeah, people still get upset with that suggestion. He sucks. He's too small. If you're getting for the minimum, what's the risk? I mean, this is the perfect time for Altron Verner to sign a 1-year minimum salary benefit contract in hopes that he can pull a Bryce McCain and get one more payday. It's not unthinkable that could happen. And look, I mean, he'll have to go in there and compete with everybody else. And even let's say that right now, David, if the Steelers were to sign Devon House to $1-2 million deal, or even a minimum salary benefit deal, and even though it would be even more unlikely to happen, just sign a guy like Altron Verner to the same kind of deal. Let's say that they ultimately keep Ross Cockrell on a restricted tender that they have out there on him. That's a lot of bodies you have being able to compete in training camp, and every single last one of them, not named Artie Burns, is cuttable, at that point, and it still doesn't prevent you from getting a guy in the draft to bring along as well. So I think, in the next week or two, we're going to have either a Devon House or an Altron Verner. People ask me, well, I don't think people keep asking about more Claiborne right now. I don't think his market value matches the risk right now. Because remember, this is a guy that missed a lot of games with injuries. So I think he's going to end up signing somewhere else. Could the Steelers be interested? Yes, but I don't think they're probably interested at probably the price that his market value is. Someone got upset with me on Twitter by saying, how much would I pay for Claiborne? I said $3 million a year. However, I did say that I think he's going to fetch more than that, and somebody had a problem with that tweet, and I don't understand why. That's how much I would pay for him. I bet that's how much Kevin Colbert would be willing to pay for him, because he has had his injury history there. But I think between now and who knows, David, by the time we do a Friday podcast, I think the Steelers are going to have a free agent cornerback signed. And it wouldn't surprise me, free agent inside linebacker as well.
Dave, a little breaking news here from Ian Rappaport saying Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell finally had the surgery today to fix a core muscle injury. Timeline is 6 weeks or so. Look, we're sitting here in March. This isn't a big deal in terms of it's just surprising that we're as far removed as we are from when the injury occurred, that they finally had the deal done. I guess they just, you know, waited to see if it would heal by itself, and then maybe they didn't see the progress they expected, so they decided to have the surgery. But this, it's 10:45 in the morning. This is just coming across the timeline. I don't have anything insightful to add. It's just a piece of Steeler news.
Yeah, we had it at 7 o'clock this morning.
Okay, I hadn't seen that.
Thanks to him on thanks to my several Steeler Twitter followers who saw Bell kind of announce it on Snapchat this morning.
Oh yeah, I saw something he said last night. What did he say? Is you can lead a he had some odd tweet last night.
You can lead a horse to war.
But you can't make him drink, right? I don't know what you can lead a horse to surgery, but you can't perform the surgery till he drinks. I don't know.
David, as I like to say, you can't take that for granted.
Yeah, for granted, right. And fortunately, you got corrected.
Make me your scapegoat.
Right.
Butchered cliches. It looks like he underwent surgery. This is the same Ian Rappaport. I don't like to use this as a platform to take shots, but is there a more worthless guy out there than Ian Rappaport? He's the same guy that said, Le'Veon Bell not going to need surgery several weeks ago. And here he is, Le'Veon Bell having surgery.
These guys, they're just mouthpieces. I mean, mouthpieces. Now, I don't know exactly where to put Schefter in this category, but it annoys me all the time when people take shots at the Steeler beat writers when the national guys break news. The reason about national guys break news is the NFL office calls them up and says, here's the news. I mean, it's not the Steelers doing it. It's good. The information goes to the league, and the league calls their guys from the NFL Network, NFL.com, and has them release the news. So that's how news gets broken. I mean, you know, there are times when guys dig up stories, and all the credit in the world to those guys when they do that. 95% of the time, that's not how it goes.
Anything that Adam Schefter reports, I believe it. I buy it. And not that way with some of these with very many others. You know, sometimes it really looks like some of this stuff when it comes to free agency is made up. You know. It really does, you know.
Well, right. When as somebody said, when guys say sources, I think it was Pro Football Talk guy Florio or somebody said, when guys use the term sources, he says, I think it's basically about 85% of the time, they're talking about one guy, and so anybody can make anything up basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's going to question it? I mean, all you have to do is quote that sources guy.
And there is somebody in Pittsburgh media who's famous for, you know, everything they report is sources, and other people will tell you there is zero chance that there is a source on that. Zero.
Yep. All right. Some unfortunate news with one of the high draft picks or draft prospects over the weekend. There's Sidney Jones at the Washington Pro Day during a backpedal drill. Looks like he tore his Achilles. And, you just hate to see that kind of thing happen. And now there's, you know, let the speculation begin. Is this a situation like what happened with the kid? Who was it? Colvin a few years ago, the cornerback who slipped in the draft after suffering an injury, I believe. Well, what did Colvin injured his knee? What at the combine, I think, or not soon after. If he will fall, I was
Jalen Smith's the kid from Notre Dame last year who was going to be a top 10 pick and ends up going top of the second round to the Cowboys, right? He got hurt in the Fiesta Bowl against Ohio State, wasn't able to play at all, but he was a guy, and it's all the whole thing raises the question: should guys play in the bowl game? Should they work it out at the combine? Should they work out at the pro days? He was the poster guy for this last year and ended up going higher. The guy who probably went highest was Willis McGahee, who got hurt in the national. I don't know what bowl it was when Ohio State played a bunch of years ago. And Tom Donahoe still ended up taking him in the end of the first round for Buffalo, and that worked out really well. So we've seen guys like Marcus Lattimore for South Carolina, who blew his knee out. He ended up dropping to the fourth round because he had kind of a Sean Spence devastating type knee injury. He never made it. So we've seen all sorts of different things about where guys end up getting drafted and then whether they come back and have success or not. Most of these we've talked about are knee injuries, not Achilles injuries.
Right, and Aaron Colvin is the guy I'm thinking of. Remember him out of
Oklahoma? I don't.
2014 draft out of Oklahoma. He was heading into the Senior Bowl. He was considered to be one of the top cornerbacks in that year's draft. He tore his ACL in his right knee during a Senior Bowl practice, and then he ultimately was drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars in the fourth round. From there, so definitely cost him. Look, you can probably say, well, Cole
is he playing now?
Yeah. He's still with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's the one that helped Devon House have to start looking for a new house.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so I'm less familiar with that story.
He was, let's see, Colvin was suspended for the first four games of the 2016 season for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing abuse. He played 10 games in 2016 before being placed on IR with an ankle injury. So, but I believe he's still, I think he's still under contract with the Jaguars right now. Here's, immediately as it started to float out there that Sidney Jones had suffered an Achilles, I reached out to Dr. Mel, David, our sure. our beloved doctor on Steelers Depot, does fantastic work, because I had read a report a few years ago about players and Achilles injuries and a medical study and how that's one of the toughest injuries to come back from, to be at the same, at the same level as you were. Melanie evidently has seen that kind of same report, and she's writing us something up on that exact thing when it comes to players and past players who have suffered Achilles injuries. So if you're listening to the podcast, please be on the lookout for what she has to write on that on Steelers Depot this coming week as well, too. It's just, look, I don't know, if you're to ask an athlete if he'd rather tear his knee up or if he'd rather, tear an Achilles, I wonder how many of them would tell you, to take the knee injury, clean ACL tear probably. But look for that. Here's the thing. If Sidney Jones is drafted outside of the first round, which I think a lot of people now expect that to happen, remember that he's going to only be on a four-year contract at that point. Well, you can easily assume that his rookie year is going to be gone, right? So that leaves 3 years for you. Can he get himself back to pre-draft shape and form by that second year? Can he give you 3 good years, and how worried are you about an Achilles at that point? Now, saying all that hot wind that just came out of my mouth, David, knowing what you know right now, would you consider spending your compensatory draft pick on Sidney Jones, regardless if you already took a cornerback or not ahead of him?
Okay, so this is the question I asked on Saturday when this news came out. I threw this out on Twitter, and a lot of varying opinions. The obviously the answer against is, you know, the two sides of the argument. The answer against is, look, this is a Super Bowl capable team. Why not get a guy, whether it's a Javon Hargrave type or you know, you can even look at the kid they drafted in the fourth round, the offensive lineman. Else, why not get a guy who can, you know, maybe impact your team right away and help you get to the Super Bowl? The flip side is, if you believe the ratings on Sidney Jones, this guy's a mid to late first round talent. You never get an opportunity to get those types of talents with the 100th pick in the draft. So you have guys who can play the position right now. This would be a guy you basically give a red shirt year to. And then you've got a quality guy for 3 years at a cheap price, a much cheaper price than you'd ever get before. So my answer would be they need to take a corner with one of their first three picks. And if he is there, I would absolutely have him serious consideration on my draft board, leaning yes if the medicals were just, you know, straightforward, he tore his Achilles. If he's sitting there in that compensatory pick, I would probably take him.
Would you only, if he was your second corner in the draft, or would you make him your first corner in the draft?
Well, I mean, it would
really...
Or does it matter? I don't think it matters, but it would really surprise me if they didn't also weren't looking for, like I've said, the first three picks, edge rusher, corner, running back in some order. So then I put this pick after that. So if they double dipped at corner, I'd definitely give it serious consideration, yes.
I think knowing the research that I know right now that I've done on the Achilles, I don't think I would take him. I would do it as my second corner in a draft, but I don't think I would want to tie. Look, everything that's gone on with Cinquez Golson, even though he wasn't injured before the draft and all when he was taken. I don't think I want him as tying my wagon to him as my one and only corner that I'm drafting this go around. So I would be probably more on board with it if he was my first corner. I mean, if he was the second corner taken. But regardless, I look forward to reading what Melanie puts together on this topic, because I think it's going to be pretty enlightening when it comes to Achilles injuries, and maybe most notably at the cornerback position.
Okay, Dave, let's just, you know, as we push an hour here, let me just a couple topics. One, Kelvin Beachum gets big money, $8 million a year. He gets $12 million guaranteed on a 3-year deal from the Jets, which has an interesting opt-out for him. If he makes the Pro Bowl in either his first 2 years, he can opt out, and obviously that means he'll go out and get even bigger money. Are you surprised? You know, look, Beachum's season in Jacksonville was kind of lukewarm. Are you surprised to get paid as much as I'm surprised to get paid as much as he did? I'd pay him, but I'm surprised he got that kind of money.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to we live in a world where Prince Amukamara got $7 million. I like Kelvin Beachum. I really do. He's a great human. I thought he was a fairly decent tackle with the Steelers as well too. Once he kind of settled in, look, this is a guy that I thought was going to get cut out of his, you know, first training camp when he spent preseason snaps
at guard
and a little bit at tackle. Boy, the holding calls, you know, that he had, remembering going back to that first preseason there. Not a great one season in Jacksonville. Of course, he was banged up a little bit there as well. But I'm surprised he got what he got, you know, from the Jets. And look, you know, how much of that contract will he wind up playing? What did he get? Something like a $4.5 million signing bonus there. I mean, he's guaranteed to earn what he's going to earn this year. And I think $4 million of the $8 million that he's scheduled to earn in 2018 is also guaranteed. So essentially,
yep.
I mean, he's good for 2 years. I mean, you could still cut him, obviously. But,
he's getting $8 million. He's, you know, salary for 17 is only 1.5. He's got a $2 million roster bonus. He's going to get that. He's got $4 million signing bonus. So, you know, $8 million is clearing this year, and as you say, four of eight next year is guaranteed. So, you know, you expect him to be around almost guaranteed to be the Jets' left tackle the next two seasons.
And then if, you know, if things don't go well, that's a, you know, he's made a lot of bank over the last few years. He can get on with his life's work then, you know. For sure, good guy, and I'm glad he landed on his feet very quickly as well too.
Let's talk about one more ex-Steeler now, Marcus Wheaton. We haven't mentioned, and I thought Wheaton might be one of the steals of free agency. Here's the thing about these deals, and we can go to the Mike Glennon deal. We can look at all these different things. Glennon, 3-year, $45 million. We emphasize all the time guarantees, and I think there are two different things here. If you're a young guy and you're a proven player, you expect guys to play out their contract, and so the guarantee is less important. If you're an older guy or an unproven guy, the guarantee is everything, because either you're older and, you know, they may not want to carry you into your 30s, or you're unproven, so you haven't done it. So, you know, that's a key. The Glennon deal, I like Mike Glennon. I think the numbers are insane. But really, the Bears have only tied their wagon to Mike Glennon for 1 year, because the first year is guaranteed. It's $19 million guaranteed. So you're going to pay him the first year, and then they only own $2.5 million. So if they cut him, it's no big deal. People are kind of saying the same thing, that the Marcus Wheaton deal is insane. Well, it's 2 years, $11 million with $6 million guaranteed. Look, $6 million for a good number two receiver is the market, or maybe a tad below market, in the NFL today. Now, we can debate whether Wheaton is that guy or not. The Bears obviously threw out last year completely, and they went on 2015 for Wheaton, and they went on his draft position. So that's what they paid him for. So you say, okay, $6 million. If he has 70 catches for 1,000 yards, well, you got value for him. And then you get him cheap the second year. But if Marcus Wheaton gets hurt, or, you know, has 40 catches for 400 yards, then you cut him and you overpaid a little bit and you move on. It's not a high-risk deal for the Bears. With Kevin White, with Kendall Wright, who they signed. Kevin White, obviously the first-round pick out of West Virginia a couple years ago, seventh overall, I think. It makes for an interesting receiving core, and Wheaton will work out of the slot. So I'll be interested to see how he does. He got a little more money than I thought, Dave, and we'll see. You know, we'll see if he becomes a favorite of Mike Glennon.
Yeah, and, you know, you have to work with a new quarterback over there, and that'll kind of be tough on him. But, look, every time I write about Wheaton, you know, over the last several weeks, or talk about Wheaton, you can't help but think, is a more structured offense, you know, or a more, let me say, a more kind of maybe structured read, you know, progression quarterback would help Wheaton much in the way as, you know, Peyton Manning helped Emmanuel Sanders. Marcus Wheaton, in my opinion, is still a good route runner.
A good blocker.
A good blocker. I mean, more than willing blocker. Now, did he clutch catches are something that Wheaton's going to have to work on? And boy, he let a bunch of them go through his hands there, especially in limited playing time last year. What was the one against the Eagles, right? Had a big drop.
Back in the end zone.
Right, and remember, go back to the playoff game against the Broncos, right? The year before. So if there's one thing that Wheaton kind of struggles with, it's clutch catches. And what's the other thing that we wrote about quite a bit when talking about Marcus Wheaton?
No doubt. I mean, look, the fact that he's supposed to be a smart guy and a really good route runner, the fact that he and Ben did not appear to be on the same page. There's specifically a game against against Cleveland 2 years ago in Cleveland, where, you know, they're both kind of throwing their hands up. It was just extraordinary to me that these two guys looked as out of sync as they did, as deep into their career as they did.
Well, you know, one other thing that you know, and the point I was trying to make, the yak, he just was never a big yards after the catch guy. And we'll see if he can change all that and parlay this. Look, the good thing about this too is it's a 2-year deal. It's kind of a prove it. You know, not only is he getting paid a good chunk here, he can parlay this into a, you know, the way Manny Sanders did, into a nice contract here at the end of the 2018 season as well. If there's one guy that you root for right now, along with Kelvin Beachum in the NFL playing for another team, it's Marcus Wheaton. You know,
yeah, for sure. I hope it works out for him. it works out for him there. Okay, Dave, we're kind of rolling along here. I don't know if
I managed to flap my gums enough here. So to me, we'll talk on. I don't think
we'll reserve the right to talk on Wednesday. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. And if not, full update on Friday. Who knows? Maybe we'll be talking about a couple outside free agents being signed, David.
Yeah, if there's a lot of free agent activity over the next 2 days, we'll try to bang 30 minutes out Wednesday. Otherwise, we'll knock it off on Friday. Hey, Steeler fans, the mortgage process can sometimes be more challenging than spelling Obi, this Connecticut safety who's going to visit the Steelers. Let Craig Oxane be your guide through this sometimes daunting mortgage process to help you score the home of your dreams, even in Connecticut. If you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, please give Craig Oxane a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. Call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender.
Some late breaking news before we close out this show. David, after visiting the New York Jets Patriots, free agent linebacker Dante Hightower is scheduled to visit the Steelers per a source. That comes from Adam Schefter. So, interesting. I don't know.
If Dante Hightower is a Steeler, we'll be doing a podcast on Wednesday.
Another note from Adam Schefter. Steelers free agent linebacker Jarvis Jones is visiting today with the Arizona Cardinals per a source. The Steelers remain interested, still in discussions, according to Adam Schefter there. So, hey, we get to end with a little bit of free agency news there, right there. So, folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the show, if you like what we do, we got a few this past week as well, too, David. People, thank you for supporting the show the way you do. If you'd like to donate, go to SteelersDepot.com. Find the donate button upper right portion of your site in the navigational bar, and that'll take you to PayPal as well. All right, David, that's all I got. Who knows? Wednesday, and if not Wednesday, maybe Friday we'll do this again.
So interesting finish to the show. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.